Welcome to His Ability, a show that speaks out to the handicapped community. Your host is the owner of Aulet Home Care Plus. And now, here's your host, Lynn Suzak.
Hi, this is your host, Lynn Suzak. Thanks for joining us today on His Ability. We're talking again. Hi, Mark. This is my co-host, Mark Suzak.
Hello, everyone.
We're talking about our book again. We're about to publish our book called First Wash the Inside. You can listen to more of those past archived programs on hisability.com. We've made a new section to track the programs regarding that book, actually, because there is fortunately a very big interest growing about it. And we've got people wanting to know, when is the book coming? When is the book coming? And we're very excited at the feedback we're getting even before it comes out. It's been affecting people's lives. We've been getting emails regarding listening to the program and wanting to know, when can I get a hold of that book? Thank you for the feedback. And you can write to us at life@hisability.com with your thoughts on today's program. We're giving out bits and pieces about the book as you're waiting for it to be published. We hope that, as we're able to tell you as soon as it's published, that, you know, there'll be a number of people waiting and then talking about it. This is our marketing, marketability. So today, Mark, we're going to talk about, the book is mainly about legalism, my experience of getting into and out of legalism and how deep that goes.
It's in everything. Even people who think they're not legalistic have a certain degree of legalism.
Yeah, it's funny. Once you learn what legalism is, you can look at other people and say, yeah, that's legalistic, and then you don't realize that you're doing it yourself. And that's what the book is all about, recognizing that in yourself. It's about self-examination. But one of the things I've done with all the quotations of scripture in the Bible, we didn't decide on one version of the Bible because I felt that was legalistic. Because one of the things that, I have lists and lists of things that that churches can get into. Know this, know that.
Do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Things that people start to adopt into they have their own laws unto themselves. It happens everywhere. Denominations tend to become very law oriented, even though we're supposed to be living by grace. And
it's so subtle though. A simple thing like let's say you're having a problem with gossiping or something. And you finally got a chance to overcome it, and you put a few things in place in your life, and you're like, okay, well, now I've kind of overcome gossiping. Well, then you start to hold other people to that standard. That is a form of legalism.
Trying to control yourself through your actions, because we don't really understand how to first wash the inside is how legalism starts, I believe, because we don't understand how to see the heart except by the manifestation of our actions and our words.
You know, as we're putting this book together and we're going through the scriptures, each of us have our favorite version of the Bible, and then we have other versions that we go to. We sort of use other versions as our commentary, and it's amazing how just slight different wordings can really impact you in a different, one way versus another. And so that's why we chose to use so many versions.
I started with, each verse that we would quote, we go, well, which version should we use? And first, Mark said, well, it's less trouble if we just use the King James. I said, well, what about all the people that can't understand the King James? Each separate quotation, we decided on which version seemed to be the most clear for us. And I thought, well, a lot of people aren't going to like that, but that's right, exactly how this book is supposed to go.
You're going to tweak the King James only crowd.
That's
you're going
right.
to tweak the NIV only crowd. You name it. You're going to touch somebody, and in a way, that's exactly making our point.
I thought God is just telling me, this goes right along with the book. So I must have had to ask, go through the permission for 10 different versions. We didn't include every version out there. Your favorite may not be used, but it's what speaks to you at the moment. The way that the Bible works is the interpretation from the Greek and the Hebrew into English. We there's no perfect way of doing that.
Right.
So
those two languages have such a huge palette of shades of meanings that don't exist in the English language, and therefore there's in many places no perfect single word. You could take a Hebrew word and try to translate the perfect meaning into English, and you're not going to get that. So that's why we have so many different translations, and each translator is trying to give a little shade of meaning to it. I wouldn't recommend ever placing all of your stock in one translation.
Yes, a typical Bible study by Mark Susek entails sitting in front of the kitchen table with about 10 versions sitting out there. And, he's doing a Bible study trying to figure something out and asking God, what does this mean? And you'll meditate on that verse for weeks sometimes. Yeah. But tell us about the time one verse.
There was one verse in Isaiah I was trying to get my arms
around. Don't give the verse because that'll distract the situation.
I won't. It was a verse I was trying to really wrap my brain around, and I read it several times, and I just wasn't really getting it. And so then I usually pull out, my NIV, and I go to that. I predominantly read out of the King James. So I'd go to the NIV, and it's a little clearer, but I'm still not getting it. And so, now I got to pull out the arsenal. I get out the Revised Version. I get out the NASB. I get out the Message and the Paraphrased and the Good News Translation and God's Word Translation. And I'm reading all these different translations, and they're all, okay, it's kind of making it a little clearer. And then I got to one translation that actually I don't go into very often. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to give credibility and say, well, that's the translation. That goes against the point. The point is the translators in that particular version worded it in a way that the Holy Spirit quickened it to me at that moment. And I was like, oh, now I get it.
The aha moment.
Right.
When you're reading the Bible, you're looking for spiritual revelation. And what's the verse that confirms that? We had a verse here, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Do you have the quote?
Yeah, it says says something about the foolishness, the non-spiritual man finds God's word foolishness.
Let's yeah, because, here. If as a non-spirit-filled person before you were born again, you could not understand the Bible. So if you're listening, you're not born again yet, you've tried to read the Bible, it's really not possible to understand the Word of God without being born again and having the Spirit of God in you. And once you have that, it's it does take time, but you're looking for that connection with the Holy Spirit. You're looking for revelation knowledge, and it just is never ending. You can always that's the only way you can make the Word of God mean anything to you is by connecting with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. You need the author to actually help you understand it. And the Holy Spirit was the author working through human beings. But here's a verse in John 14:26 says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said." That means you need the Holy Spirit for him to teach you the Word of God. Because it's spiritual, you have to be able to understand it using God's Spirit.
And the 1 Corinthians 2:14 about the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. We know that being a natural person, with our natural mind, we're not going to understand the things of God.
Yeah, it's just like you ever had a conversation with someone and they're telling you an experience, and you're trying to follow along, but you're not fully getting what they're saying, and
they have to say it a different way.
Yeah, and you think you understand them, and then maybe through mm-hmm. a little more of the conversation, you start to learn, you know, wow, I had no idea what you were really talking about. Same thing. You right. can read God's word.
Right.
You can go through the surface text and think you have a full understanding of it, but God has probably got some very deep spiritual meaning to it, and you're just not fully getting it. You can't get it without the Holy Spirit.
How many times have you been in a conversation or a semi-argument with somebody, and they say, but you just said,
and they
and you're like,
you
well, that's not what I meant. The way that right. you're taking it isn't the way, you know, I mean, I use those words, but here, let me re-explain. Well, no, you said, right. well, that's a perfect example of words not communicating.
Exactly. You know,
or go ahead.
We have our own spirit, and our spirit understands what our thoughts and, you know, what our thoughts and desires and where we're going with what we're saying. But to get another spirit to understand it, their spirit has to understand your spirit.
And
it's the same thing. It's the same thing with God. You need to have God's spirit in you in order to understand God's words.
And you have to want to understand it. You have to say, when you're having a conversation with somebody, well, I'm not sure if I'm understanding with what you're saying. Can you say it a different way, or you repeat right. back to them? Is this what you mean? And so words aren't perfect. And just like a parent laying down the law, you know, trying to get your children to obey not your words, but the spirit of what you want them to do, what you know is right. Well, you know, your kids may try to get legalistic on you and go, well, you never told me I couldn't do that.
Right,
and
right.
you're like, did I have to tell you?
Exactly. Like you tell them, you know, you're not allowed to watch the Disney Channel until after you do your homework. Well, you come into the room 20 minutes later and they're watching the Discovery Channel. And you say, what are you doing? I told you to do your homework. You said I couldn't watch the Disney Channel until I did my homework. You didn't say anything about the Discovery Channel.
Legalistic games.
That is legalism in a very early sense of the word.
Right. It's something that permeates many parts of our lives. It's something that Satan has tried to use. It's a game that he plays with every part of our lives. And you don't even have to be religious to be legalistic.
It's all about your words versus the meaning behind the words. If you're going to hold people accountable to their words rather than to their meaning, you're starting to go down a path of legalism.
The medical arena will be legalistic about what you can and can't do. That's something that I believe, even in a physical sense, I won't put myself under any laws. You develop that kind of a problem when you start to get problems physically. You start to have to put yourself under law, and I have a chapter about that too. So, you know, I can't have this anymore. I can't have that anymore. When I start getting those thoughts, I resist it.
Yep, that's going down a bad path.
So there's a lot more to learn, and thanks for joining us. You can hear us again on hisability.com.
Thanks for listening to His Ability. You can email Lynn at life@hisability.com. That's life@hisability.com. Or visit hisability.com. If you're in the need of home health care, please call a Utilee at 734-261-1220. That's 734-261-1220. Thanks for tuning in, and you can hear His Ability every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on WMUZ 103.5, The Light.